Good evening, everyone, and welcome back. It's In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. And we've got another Super Saturday to get excited about. It's the Cambridgeshire. 24 horses rattling down the straight at Newmarket as we play which rail will be beneficial. Again, that's the flat season for you. But despite the small numbers, we've said it all season, where are the horses going? It's still a wide open race, and we've got some group action for the juveniles as well. We might well crown a Group 1 colt and a Group 1 filly, although admittedly, I think the Sheafley Park probably looks a pretty decent renewal. The Middle Park, well, we'll get to that a little bit later on. In fact, the best horse, and it wouldn't be the first time, might well be in the Royal Lodge, but we'll also get to that very shortly. We'll be taking in a couple of races from Haydock as well, and we are live and interactive, so say hello on the chat if you are watching right now. But the best thing about Cambridgeshire Saturday, of course, is that we've had a couple of days at Newmarket to get into the swing of things. We've also had Haydock this afternoon, so in theory, we should know how the track is riding. Although, again, the joy slash pain of the flat season is you can never be 100% sure. But, hey, look, you don't have to split the atom to find a winner, says one of our panellists. This week in his column. So let's keep it simple and try and find the best horses. And hopefully, refreshed from his pan-European exploits, it's Mr. Paul Keeley.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. We'll have to wait and see, yeah. Good holiday, though.
Yeah.
Made a point not watching any racing at all, partly to keep Mrs. K happy, but... yeah, didn't see a single thing. Had a good catch up over the weekend.
You've got to scrub the brain every now and then a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I can't say I've backed any winners since I've come back.
No.
Well, I did back a couple at the weekend, funnily enough. But I mean, since I've come back working for the paper, it's been not been great. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Fancy a few.
Before we get into that, your European exploits. If I said to you, I can only go to one place that you went to, I've got a plane to get
over there. I went to Prague, Vienna and Budapest, and Budapest was the last one. I liked that the most.
Yeah.
But I mean, all three have their various plus points. They're all very nice.
All right, Budapest it is then. Budapest it is. Mr. Tom Siegel, you've been, like I said, not splitting the atom, but watching, you've got the Ryder Cup this weekend as well to keep you entertained, as well as the racing.
Yeah, lots of sport for me. American football, Ryder Cup, Reading. All over the place I've been this week. I've really enjoyed it. I love watching the sport. That's my thing. So, you know, if the Ryder Cup's on, you won't see me moving for a bit. Will you, Minnie?
No, Minnie will be there right with you.
Yeah.
What have you made of 2 days at Newmarket? We've had some cracking finishes. We've had the near side rail coming into play once again. Probably the most impressive winner, the one out of the Aiken that bolted up yesterday, Distant Storm, might well be going for a Dewhurst and putting that York run behind him. But anything that you liked over the last couple of days?
Distant Storm, yeah. No, you named him. I thought he was really good. I'm a Knight of Thunder aficionado. I'm a bit of a groupie for Knight of Thunder horses, and I thought he was really impressive. I think he's maybe the best sire around at the moment, bar none. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what Distant Storm can do. So I thought he hit the line hard. I thought he handled the track well. He looks like a cast iron and Guinness horse for me. I thought he was the most impressive bite, and it wasn't really that close.
No. No, fair enough. Would it be fair to say, I mean, I'm a bit disappointed in particular by the Middle Park tomorrow. I guess, you know, I think the Dewhurst, in theory, should be an absolutely cracking race. But tomorrow, we were just saying, you know, you've got a favourite who's been beaten four times as many times as he's won races. And while he sets a half-decent standard, it's a bit of a weak renewal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a broken record, but I'll say it again. We keep breeding loads of sprinters, and we keep breeding bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the 6 furlong, 5 furlong sires are absolutely shocking. You know what I mean? Everyone wants them, and they can win middle parks, but they're not very good. And that's what we've got in the middle park. Look, our horse might come out of it. That's better. But the middle park traditionally isn't that great a race anyway. Mm. Going forward, it tends to be a sprinter's race, doesn't it? And that's not my game. So, listen, we have what we have. Bit of an open race, maybe be able to find one to back, but no, I'm with you. It doesn't look great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you've had. You get your obvious, your last lion type middle parts, but you know, you 10 sovereigns, Van Dijk a couple of seasons ago. I mean, Perfect Power obviously went on to be a decent three-year-old as well. So I guess, yeah, some of these two-year-old racer skills, there's no middle ground. That you either get a very good winner or it's...
Yeah, pretty much. And it's got a look at it before the race this time, isn't it? That's the only problem. But yeah, like Tom said, we breed loads of sprinters. People pay absolute fortune for them at the Breeze Ups and hoping they're getting a quick return at Royal Ascot, etc. But... end of the day, they just don't turn out to be that good in the long term, do they?
No. Before we get stuck into tomorrow, let's because we're coming towards the end of the flat season, of course. We'll be off to France next week, metaphorically speaking. Literally, for some of you, maybe. But we've got Ascot on the horizon as well. Things are starting to come together a little bit. We saw that your horse to follow for the season is staying on these shores to go to Champions Day, Tom. So... what do you make of the Antipost, Marcus? You've done your Antipost pieces. What have you put up anything? Do you like anything for Ascot in a few weeks' time?
Well, I mean, the problem with doing Antipost is you're expecting it to be soft, heavy, virtually unraceable ground at Ascot. It might be that. But the vibe, people are telling me that Paris, or Ed Walker's telling us that Paris isn't going to be good to firm, quite could be fast. The ground at Newmarket tomorrow is fast. It's got to rain. It's got to rain for all these soft ground horses to come in, so to come to play. I mean, when I do it anti-post, I'm always doing it thinking that it's going to be soft. So my fancies were Montasib, Factor Cheval, as you pointed out. Thought they were the type of horses that could go well, especially Factor Cheval. I mean, if it was really, really soft, I'd want to be against Field of Gold after a break on really, really soft ground. I mean, we've seen really brilliant horses beaten by Eden. You know, Palace Pier and horses like that beaten when it gets terrible at Ascot. So after an injury coming back after a break, I don't think he'd even run if it was really, really soft. Go to America instead. So I was looking for those type of horses. I'm slightly concerned that come, you know, it's got to rain. It's got to rain. And I know it was soft at Ascot the other day, but I haven't had a drop of rain and I'm just down the road from Ascot for 2 weeks now.
But we've been saying we've been saying it's got to rain since April, haven't we, really?
Exactly. Exactly. And then, listen, if it rains on the day, if it rains 2 days before, it's got to be a pretty, you know, it's got to be a lot of it, though, to make that straight track go really soft like it has been in the past. So, I don't know. I mean, I've backed Factor Cheval. That was my one at 25-1, thinking that the mile might cut up. And he's been second twice before, and he ran perfectly well. Wasn't he the horse that his trainer said was given the worst ride of any ride ever?
Yeah.
In Royal Ascot, and he was given a shocker. I agreed with him. He was given a shocking ride, but he was never going to beat Obmansman in a million years, was he, on fast ground? But I do think he's the type of horse that at 25-1 could definitely hit the frame. He's done it twice before in the mile. So he, you know, if it rains, he'd still be one I'm pretty keen on.
Okay, fair enough. And I assume that that Flavien Prat won't be riding him this time around. Anything at Ascot? Again, it is tough because in my head, every single horse who skips the summer for the autumn, you think, oh, they'll get bad ground on
Yeah, but we normally do.
Yeah.
Right, and just because we haven't, so at some point the Evans are going to open and they ain't going to close for a while. Well, I mean, that tends to happen, doesn't it? Okay, we don't know yet. There's all sorts of hurricanes and cyclones going on around the world at the moment. I mean, who knows what's going to happen when they make their way over here, no matter how much weakened they become. So who knows? I'd still be in my head expecting soft ground.
Just have a look. Since they switched to Ascot, we've had good, soft, heavy, good to soft, good, soft, good to soft, soft. So only once we've had heavy.
Yeah, I mean, some of those good to softs would have been when they've moved the round course races as well, remember? So
yeah.
So we have to wait and see. Because that's the other thing you've got to play with when you're thinking about anti-post. You think, oh, I want really heavy ground for this horse. But you want it to be heavy only after they've made the decks and when they can't make the decision to change the track, don't you? There was one at a massive price for the mile, was hot as hell, because I just think he's just absolutely crying out for a bog. And if he gets an absolute bog, I'll definitely back him each way. But you can't back him anti-post because it has to be really deep for him.
Yeah.
That'd interest me. Otherwise, you know me, my favourite race is the handicap on the card. I think Shout will end up favourite for the Balmoral, and I think 12-1 is pretty big.
All right, okay. Yeah, Shout, who...
absolutely gagged up. He
did, yeah.
In a race that has produced a winner before, I think so.
Well, I'm just going to...
He beat Mr. Swivel.
Mr. Swivel, who runs tomorrow in the Cambridge.
Yeah, who I think would have a good chance if he wasn't probably on the wrong side.
He also beat Thunder Roar in eighth, who won the other day. Theory of Everything and Perpetro have played
Well, Theory of Everything was second to Thunder Roar, wasn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean? So the form is good, and he absolutely gagged up that day. So he's probably a softish ground group horse in the making.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. Although, if he doesn't get that, so I'm just looking at the Champion Stakes in particular, the quicker the ground, the better chance the French horses have by the looks of things.
Factor Chevelle's in the mile, isn't it?
You're probably right. You've got Calandagan,
yeah. I mean, you know, if it's bottomless, he won't turn up, will he?
But he's a very good horse. He stays strongly. He's got that monkey off his back of, you know, everyone's saying he doesn't want to go and do it. He doesn't want to put his head down and win a Group 1. I think a strongly run 10 furlongs around there would suit him down to the ground.
You could be right. And
you've put one in the sprint, but I thought the entire season looks like it's been leading to Ascot for Kind of Blue for me, Tom. He was the one that I immediately looked at the sprint and thought, well, he won't be out of the mix.
Yeah, well, he's clearly he's got a good chance. He's getting better every run, isn't he? I just watched last year's race back at the time, and when I was doing it, Montasib was, you know, double the price, really, of Kind of Blue. Mm. And when you watch last year's race, it was a bit, well, I'm not sure there was a bias anywhere, but it seemed like the high numbers had it, you know, they dominated the race. The low numbers didn't get in it. They all got in each other's way. They all sort of raced at the same part of the track, so I don't think there was any, but Montasib sort of never got going. But he'll need it really, really soft, I think. I mean, he ran really well at Newbury the other day.
He ran a blinder, didn't he? He was tailed, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's the type of horse, you know, he's beat Kind of Blue, hasn't he, in the Betfred Sprint Cup last year. Mm. So there's nothing between them. The two of them are very similarly matched. It was at the time, it was a price thing. That made me go for Montasib. I knew he was running on the Saturday. I was expecting him to run well. William Haggis suggested he was going to run well at Newbury. So that was the thing. Now it's a toss-up, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the day, it will be ground draw, all those sort of things that come into it, all the things that I don't understand, basically.
Yeah, but I do want to take Lazat on. I mean, I thought he should have got beat at Ascot, never mind, you know, the times he has been beaten since then, so...
Yeah, I mean, they made a thing about the draw at Haydock last time, and clearly he wasn't in the best place when they, you know, all the ones up the rail won, but he did beat some rubbish horses by very far at all, all the ones that race around him. You know, I thought Times for Sandals should have beaten him. She's not rubbish by any stretch, but there was, you know what I mean? He wasn't beating horses that he should have beaten very far at all. I don't know. I think he lost his mojo.
Yeah. No, and like I said, I thought Saturno Rev should have won at Ascot as well. So if he'd have got beaten there, that'd have been three on the bounce. But anyway, let's have a quick look on the chat. If anyone's had a few interposed pokes for Ascot, assuming the ground will be soft, just my luck, it'll be quick this year, says Tommy Daniels. Well, look, there's a few angles for Champions Day, but we've got, say, a big card at Newmarket and a couple of races that Haydock to look at after this. All right, let's get stuck into Saturday then with a bit of Newmarket, a bit of Haydock, starting off with a bit of Newmarket. We've got the first group 2-year-old race of the day, and Bo Echo is 15-8 favourite. Action is 3-1. Pacific Avenue 5-1. Daytona 6-1. Humidity 13-2. 9-1. Ancient Egypt 66-1. Tail Gunner Joe and Lord Britain is the outsider of the bunch, rated 84. Having a nice day out potentially in the Royal Lodge Stakes to make up the numbers. But hey, there's only 8 runners, and he might plug on for a bit of prize money, Lord Britain. But Bo Echo heads the betting 2 from 2. Beat some good horses at Newbury. The second, Be the Standard, went to Thirst next time out, and everything out of his race has come out and won. And then Publish was supposed to be the Gosden Guineas horse and shot clear last time out, but Bo Echo ran him down. He looks very, very good indeed. George Bowie is having... Weird to say that, given he won a Guineas a few years ago, but it feels like this year George Bowie has become the consistent... trainer that I think everyone aspires to be. He's had big wins in the past, but this year he just seems to be doing everything right.
Yeah, he's had a cracking season, isn't he? Like, yeah, but, you know, I've thought he was a good trainer as soon as he came along. Obviously, he learned his trade with Gay Waterhouse in Australia. He spent time with her, and when he first came over, his horses, particularly his 2-year-olds, they were breaking out of the stalls really quickly. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? But this guy knows exactly what he's doing, like, you know, and you know he has shown it since. However, I think Bo Echo is the worst price of any horse running anywhere tomorrow.
All right. Why is that?
Why? Because I mean, everyone's talking about Gosden's Publish as being a Guineas horse, but it wasn't Gosden. It was just everybody just assuming, because he was going to run in the Solario Stakes. He was a hyped-up horse whose form never warranted the hype. Mm. And all he's done is beat him in a race at Haydock, which is routinely a bang average listed race, historically. And I don't think that form is anywhere near as good as some of the horses in this race. And I just can't believe he's 15-8. He's 15-8 because he's unbeaten. Everyone likes an unbeaten horse, as we saw with Tulane earlier today going off at a stupid price with questionable form. I know the horse turned the form round, but
it was a questionable win.
It was a questionable win, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So I can't have him at all. I think it's a terrible price. No, you know, he might well improve, but. I just think he's got to be opposed. I was surprised at the prices of Action and Daytona. I know Tom Markander's on Daytona and not Action, but his form is way, way better than Action's. And to me, the horses I was interested in were Pacific Avenue and Humidity. And I know that Humidity finished ahead of Pacific Avenue in the Solario, but I like Pacific Avenue. I thought he shaped like the best horse in the race that day. Mm. Just a bit of inexperience, perhaps not liking the ground. I'm not sure. He might do because he's got a relative who went well on it. But I just thought it was a case of inexperience caught him out. I thought he came there to win it and you know, he lost a couple of places close home. I think he will improve dramatically for that run, and I think he's going to be a massive player. Now, you know, when you get four horses finished in a line in a group race, you automatically think it's not that good a race. But
but
the runner-up has gone and won a group three at Chanty since, so it's not that bad. And, yeah, I just think he's going to come on and hopefully take care of Humidity. But I can't. My main bet would be laying Boeco.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like I said, a lot of people are very keen on Boeco. I mean, speed figure wise, it was both runs have been very, very good. But again, I guess this is what I love about these kind of races, though, Tom. You could make an excellent case for both sides, can't you? You could say Boeco, God, really, you know, like I said, two from two, form's working out well, speed figures are good, ran down Publish last time out. Or you could say, like what Gilles has said, and you could say that Publish should have won, and Boeco's not beating very good horses. And
well, build the price into it as well.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, and the price is key. Price. Now, the when you were saying about Daytona and Action, now, the only thing I would say is, I thought that debut run, the first three horses there, Tom, that again, the number was very good at the Curra, incredibly well bred. Isaac Newton back in second, has gone on winning a good time at Goodwood as well. I thought that was a really good race. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Action's got under the hood when he actually gets a proper test here, because he's got a beautiful pedigree. I thought that first run was good, and he just got the job done last time out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Boeco and Action could easily win. They could easily be really... Action's a half-brother to Lamble. Frankel, half-brother to Lamble, the Derby winner. Mm. You know, who's run third on his debut, then gone to Galway and won easily. Aina Brun likes running good horses at Galway now. I think he doesn't want Dermot World winning all the races there, so he sends some good ones up there these days. And Action won easily there. He could easily be very good. And Boeco could easily be very good. It's just that they're priced up like they are very good. And they haven't done the form yet to show that they're very good, if you know what I mean. They're priced up like they're top class. And we don't know that they're top class. And so therefore, I'm with Kielt. I like the Sandown form better. Unlike Kielt, I'm sort of price. I'm my job is price wise. So I went for the one that finished in front last time at a bigger price. I would not be surprised at all if Pacific Avenue was the best horse in that race. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Pacific Avenue won this. But I thought Humidity back on fast ground at a track that will suit his style. Got to remember, Newmarket's downhill. It's downhill and it suits front runners. I've always felt that, especially on fast ground. And I thought he might revert to his Chesham style running. I thought, you know, let's not beat around the bush. He was unlucky not to win at Sandown anyway, wasn't he? First of all, he was the one that was hampered. He was the one that lost on the nod. I mean, if his head had been down and a bit of spirits had been up, he would have won it. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, without needing to be put forward to second. So he's a good horse. He's got the conditions right. Andrew Balding's horses run really well at Newmarket. They always seem to be in good form. Every time we do one of these, we talk about Andrew Balding. Just thought, you know, a Royal Ascot winner at around, he was 8 or 9 to 1 this morning. I thought that was perfectly reasonable. But I wouldn't be surprised if Pacific Avenue win. Like Kielt, it's not that I don't like Boeco and Action. Mm. It's just I haven't got the form to be the prices they are. So that's my job. It's like today, isn't it? We were watching the Rockfeld today.
Yeah.
If you'd have told us Xanthos was 15-2 when we did the prices, Keels and I would have both tipped him. But you know what, that's not how it works when you when you're trying to do your job at the deadline time that we have to do it. So at this, you know, I think I would choose between the two. It's just that humidity was a slightly bigger price, so that's the one I went for.
Okay, fair enough. Humidity then is a 13-2 shot. On the chat, JP Pigiano, good evening to you, Mr. Pigiano, says it's going to be a Charlie Johnston double day for me. Ancient Egypt in the Royal Lodge and Mahaba Gaiath in the Cambridgeshire. Ancient Egypt's really interesting. My heart kind of wants Ancient Egypt to run well because I read that interview with Charlie Johnston the other day and I liked it. He came out fighting a bit. I really love the line. People think I've been training 33 years and I've actually been training 3 years. I mean, to step into his dad's shoes and take over at the very top, to take over a huge operation at the very top of its game and to basically not drop the ball must have been hugely terrifying no matter how long you've been involved there. And he's actually, I think his horses are overpriced because people are writing him off because he's not his dad. He's not as good as Mark. I mean, Francophone today was a good example, but I do think they are bigger in the betting than they should be, Tom, because people have kind of written him off too early, which is what he was saying the other day.
Well, yes and no. Yes, I agree with you entirely, but I think people used to write off Mark Johnson's horses as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think for years, Mark Johnson's horses were going off too big a price, and I don't think the numbers aren't that much different.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see a great deal of difference in performance levels.
I think it's more that he ended up, you know, I don't think he was getting the top class winners. That's the thing. He wasn't having, the flag bearers weren't quite going through with it. But I think people just, I don't know, it's, if you've got a dynasty or a famous name.
I think the point you're making is right, but I think the point I would make is that Mark Johnson made his name with staying horses, generally, didn't he? And it's hard to get hold of staying horses now. That's probably why Mark Johnson's form tailed off a bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's hard. There's so few of them around, and all the good ones go to, you know, Coolmore or Charlie Appleby or Rafe Beckett, that Mark Johnson couldn't get hold of them. He was buying the third and fourth strings down the line. Do you see what I mean? Those are the only ones that you get hold of. So it wasn't surprising he wasn't winning in those big races.
Yeah.
I think Charlie's just doing exactly what Mark did, and he's doing a very good job, in my opinion.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go with Action in this anyway, because I thought that debut one was really good. Aidan's actually, he's won this three times in the last 15 years, and none of them have been with Ryan Moore on, because Ryan's always over the Curra, so I don't think, you know, an absence of Ryan Moore or jockey bookings is really anything to go on, personally. But I think Action at 3-1 will... I wouldn't necessarily make him favourite, but I think he's possibly the best horse in the race. Going forward, though, to Haydock, 205, 5 furlong handicap here at 0-100. Just the 11 of them are running, and Woolhampton is 3-1, having the traditional fantastic end to the season. Woolhampton, 3-1, Duran, 9-2, Blue Storm, 6-1, Always Glamorous, 6-1, Vintage Claret, 6-1, 9-1, I'm Next, 12-1, King of Light, Lethal Nymph is 14-1, and Bigger the Rest. Part of the reason, though, Woolhampton has had such a good time of it of late, Tom, is because that brief window of soft ground came, and Woolhampton absolutely loves soft ground. Now, it's not quick by any stretch of the imagination at Haydock, but it'll certainly be a little bit quicker than I think it was at Sandown or Ascot.
Yeah, I still think there'll be some give in the ground. I do still think there'll be some give in the ground up at Haydock. I know they've had a couple of drying days, but you saw the pictures from all the area around there. And if anyone watched the Manchester Derby last week, it never stopped, it was pretty torrential rain, so I think it'll still be some juice in the ground. I don't think it's going to be heavy by any stretch of the imagination. So I think Woolhampton can go well. That's just he's sort of done his winning for me, and I was looking elsewhere. I thought there was loads you could make a case for. Blue Storm, last year's winner, bouncing back, could definitely go well. Always Glamorous is in tremendous form. If he doesn't miss the break, one I ended up, I'm Next was one I was very interested in, down the bottom, 3-year-old running well, but the one I sort of ended up was just a big price drawn sort of high near the rail. I don't know if that's any good or not. It was Kind King of Light or Stuart Williams and Sylvester D'Souza. Now he looked good last year. He won over course and distance, beat a good horse, Francisco's Peace, over course and distance on soft ground last year. came back this year, ran a cracker against behind the man in York when trained by Carl Burke. And then they sold him at the horses in training sale. Stuart Williams bought him for, I think, £70,000 or whatever. And then he ran an absolute blinder in the Racing League in a pretty competitive race on his debut for him when totally unfancied. I think it was 33-28-1, something like that. And he's sort of lost the plot since. He sort of keeps missing the break and ducking out. But in the Portland last time, he must have lost 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 lengths at the start, ducking to his left. But he ran on quite nicely, I thought. And that Portland was a lot better race than this.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if Sylvester got him out and he's drawn 10, and it might be all right. I don't know. Watching the race.
It was today, wasn't it? I mean, they all came down this near side rail today.
Yeah, the only problem is if you get behind and then get behind loads of horses on the rail, that wouldn't be good. But if that was the way the race turned out, I'm not one for worrying too much about it. I thought he could go well at a price because he's definitely handicapped to win the race. I think he's off 85. I think he's dropped a few pounds. I mean, dropped loads of pounds since he started the season. But just thought with Sylvester on, Stuart Williams, type of horse that could go well in an open race. Duran is the one that I think is the most solid, because he's run really well against draw biases the last twice at Haydock behind that horse, Springer Sprung.
Yeah.
That's it. And then last time at Doncaster up the stands rail,
yeah,
he was against the pace bias. So I could see it because he likes Haydock.
Yeah, I thought he had a crack. And then Nigel Tinkler suddenly the last few days as well, he had a big price winner. He had two runners at Redcar. I think he had an 80-1 third and a 40-1 winner. And I just thought, oh, okay, here we go. They could be springing into form. And the fact that he's coming back to Haydock, where he's run two blinders as well, I think is key. I'd almost make him favourite.
Well, I'm surprised he wasn't favourite, actually, after last run. It's just, it was another thing that we were talking about in the last race. It's a price thing, isn't it? And it was a price thing. And I was looking at the race and thinking, this is a tough old sprint. Mm. Duran was 9-2. Do I really want to be tipping up him at 9-2? You know, I don't know what price he's going to start. It's really hard to predict what price those sort of horses start these days. He'd easily be 6-1. He could easily be 3-1. Who knows?
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd go for one at a bigger price.
He is 15-2 in a place, isn't he? So the 9-2 you've got there was that his price is all over the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, he's he's one of those horses that he's almost like, you know, your place pop banker, as it were. He'll get a running race. But you're going with King of Light for Stuart Williams.
I've just taken a chance on him at the prices. That's all. That's all. It was a price thing rather than oh my God, he's got a great chance, isn't that a wonderful bet?
But Stuart Williams having an absolute blinding season as well, himself. I think he's almost had as many winners this year that he had the last 2 years combined, so he's having a cracking time.
Yeah, and he's got plenty of chances.
He has. What did you put up in this?
Wolverhampton's an old fav of mine. I was following her all season and a bit disappointed I didn't make as much money out of her as I could have done, because especially at Sandown like two starts ago, because I got all the nice decent early prices and then there was tons of non-runners and ended up with a 50p rule four.
Like I said, they withdrew about nice. Eight horses, didn't they?
Right, you know, yeah, that's right. But Ascot last time, there was some time figure people were suggesting that Brown was good on the straight track, so it's not necessarily that she needs it bottomless. She might just need this time of year. My thing is, she traded 1,000 in running that day, and it's a stiff track, Ascot, and on quickening ground at Haydock, are they going to come back to her? She's also now back up to the mark. She couldn't win off at the end of last season, so unless she's actually improved, she's £5 higher than anything she's ever won off, so I think she'll drift. I don't see it being a short 7-2. And I like Blue Storm, last year's winner. He's only a pound higher than last year. Now, he's obviously had his issues because he only made his seasonal reappearance 3 weeks ago, but I thought he shaped quite well under relatively tender handling. Again, he was at the back, so there wasn't an awful lot of room, but there wasn't much of an attempt to actually try and create some or find some. And yes, he got beat a fair way, but so did everything by Democracy Dilemma, who had dipped to a mark below 100 for the first time in ages and just blew him apart.
And it's worth noting that was a 0-105. Blue Storm was off 102. This is a 0-100.
That's right, yeah. So he's down to a lower level. He won his race last year on soft ground, but softer ground isn't an issue to him because he won the Dash at Epsom on good to soft. He was second in the Palace of Holyrood House on good to firm last year, so he handles everything. He's the only horse in here that's fresh, because lots of these have been on the go for ages. Gemma Tutty has booked Sam James, who's having only his fifth ride of the season for her, the other four having finished 1-1-1-2.
Okay.
So I think everything's in place for a big run, basically. I thought, he was a little bit bigger this morning, but I think he'll get shorter still and might even end up faff.
Yeah. Yes, and the two was at Beverly the other day when he was a bit, was quite unlucky. He got stuck on the rail and came home strongly. So, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I don't particularly like betting in these 5 furlong sprints, but we've made some good cases, to be fair there. Wolhampton 3-1 favourites on the chat. Eden says he's got to go, so good luck also. So just so you can cross them off your selections, he's back Corker at Ripon, Alto at Newmarket, and number 7, 13, 15, 17 and 18 in the Cambridge are all high drawn. So good evening to you.
That's almost as many runners as there is.
Yeah, best of luck with that. He touched it for an even money bet, I'm sure. One more thing to mention about Haydocker as well, and in what we talked about earlier with the Sprint Cup and going to Ascot is, again, I don't think people talk about the horses for courses again at Haydock. The first three home in that Sprint Cup were all Haydock horses. You were just talking about Blue Storm going to Haydock. We're talking about Durant coming back to Haydock. Again, even if it's a simple track, I still think it's worth looking at those course specialists. But anyway, back to Newmarket we go for the Shrewsbury Park Stakes, 94 joint favourites for this year's renewal. We've got True Love on a bit of a recovery mission at 9-4, and Royal Fixation very much on the up, also at 9-4. Beautify back to the track fairly quickly at 4-1. America Queen coming up against Royal Fixation once again after that. York 1-2 is 5-1. Fitzella can't really put a foot wrong, but could do with a bit of luck to get her head in front at this level is 12-1. Havana Anna's 20s. Anthelia 25s. Again, very much the heart selection, I think. $6,000 she cost at the sales. Be nice to see her end a season with a Group 1. And Orion's Belt and Golden Palace make up the field here in the Shubley Park. But yeah, fascinating race here, Keels. Fascinating clash at the top of the betting, because you've got the upwardly mobile Royal Fixation for Ed Walker, again, who's another trainer having a cracking season. And True Love lost her lustre a little bit last time out, but she's had a bit of a break, and it might well have been that she just had enough for the summer.
Yeah, it might have been, but, according to RPRs and top speed, she ran to a similar level in getting beat as she did when she won. So maybe that is her level. It's still good enough, still might be good enough to win this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's obviously very useful. I think there were 4 serious chances here, aren't there? That's the way I looked at it. I was a little bit surprised to see Royal Fixation drift out to as big as she has in a place. But I do think that America Queen's got a right chance of beating her. Now, I was against America Queen at the prices at York because all she'd done was beat a load of trees on her debut start, and they were terrible. I mean, the form of them was awful. And I thought, well, she can't have learned very much or whatever, but she went to York and she ran really well. And I do think, as Richard Hughes says, I do think that Ryan Moore had to commit her a little bit too soon because he was worried about getting stuck if he didn't. And she just came over the top of him, and a Royal Fixation just came over the top of him. That was only a second run. I thought it was a blinding first run. And I'd expect her to get much closer, perhaps even beat her this time. But Beautify has obviously got a big chance as well. That form with Precise is very good. I think it's a tight race. But I hope Richard Hughes gets himself another Group 1 winner with America Queen.
Okay. Also worth noting that Richard Hughes had 2 winners in the entirety of August, and he's had 7 winners in the past 2 weeks. So she ran well when his horses weren't running well.
That's very true, yeah. Yeah, he's absolutely flying this past week as well.
Yeah.
Winners and seconds and thirds apart from one.
Yeah. And they were getting backed, and that spirit lead me at Kempton the other night smashed off the boards, scrubbed along, hanging all over the track and absolutely dotted up. So they're clearly in very, very good heart. America Queen then is 5-1 for Richard Hughes and Billy Lothnane in the Shubley Park here. It's kind of 2 races, isn't it, Tom, in a sense? You've got 4 horses with genuine group form at single figure odds, and then there's about 5 or others in the mix. Admittedly, Fitzella and Manthelia and even Orion's Belt, they've all got good group form as well. Was there anything that looked overpriced to you in this?
Not really. I thought this was really... you could make... Keels has made a solid case for all the top ones, and he can definitely do that. I thought you could seriously think that True Love on the Ascot form and then some of her other forms got a great chance. Royal Fixation looked really good. So she'd be the one I'd be most against at the top of the market. I don't know why. I just thought that maybe, I don't know, I think maybe she wants a bit further. Don't know. But she was the one I'd most against. I thought Beautify might win myself, but I was surprised to see that Wayne Lawton was True Love. I thought Beautify's form last time was probably the best. America Queen could easily take the step forward, as you boys have quite rightly pointed out. It wasn't a race I had. I'm really looking forward to it because I think it's a good race, but I'm not going to have a bet in it. If I was forced, it would definitely be Beautify.
Okay, Beautify 4-1 then. I mean, but again, it is nice to see genuinely, you've got your two Ballydoyle runners, but again, Ed Walker having an incredible season. Richard Hughes ending the season fantastically well, Group 1 winner for him. Hugo Palmer this year as well has been, you know, absolutely red hot from start to finish. This is what we need, isn't it? We haven't got many horses, but it'd be nice exactly. If the good horses were spread out, and that seems to be what we're getting at the moment.
Yeah, I think what you can do is if you're smart, you can grab hold of sort of first season sires and second season sires that are going places, and therefore you might get a Palace Pier like Royal Fixation that might take you to the top level, even though you don't have to pay that much. Do you know what I mean? Whereas some of these, and American Queens are Havana Gold, isn't it? So you can sort of get these horses that the Coolmore boys and the Godolphin boys don't really want, and they turn out to be really good. So that's, I agree with you. That's why it's a fascinating race. I'm really looking forward to it. I sort of hope Royal Fixation wins because I'm a bit of a, I loved Palace Pier as a racehorse and always felt he was one of the most underrated sort of superstars we've had around in recent years. So I'd love to see him make it as a sire. And he's doing really well. Keel's tip to win the scenario, Bit of Spirit or whatever, was by Palace Pier. And Morris Dancer, who's a favourite of mine, is by Palace Pier. So I'd love to see Royal Fixation win because I think what we need is some really top sires that everyone can get a hold of rather than just more Jug Monty, Godolphin. Do you know what I mean? And I think that'll, you know, sort of miling sires. And I think Palace Pier will end up being that. So I'd like to see that. But I think, at the end of the day, I think Aiden O'Brien's going to win, and I think Beautify might be the one.
Yeah, you say everyone get a handle. I mean, Royal Fixation, you say there's everyone, then there's everyone. She was 180 grand, wasn't she?
Yeah, so, I know.
We're feeling sorry for these paupers, aren't we?
Exactly. Yeah, but Anthelia, I mean, I really
hope that would be great. Yeah,
every year, Keels, Rod Millman picks up just one. One emerges from nowhere and wins 100 grand.
Millman's a terrific operation, isn't it? You know, I used to follow him years and years ago. I always used to run one of his best 2-year-olds at Nottingham. I mean, I'm going back 25 years or whatever. It'd be great to see, but I can't see it.
No, I can't see it, but I didn't think she'd win last time out, and she did.
Well, you get turn-ups, can't you?
Yeah, but you never know. But let's have a look on the chat. No bet for Darren Walker. Thank you, Darren. Appreciate that. Frank Fortune says, Nigel Tinkler's just had a 14-1 winner at Newcastle. So that means Durant might be worth a look. Yes, he did. And with a horse that I was talking about, he just had a winner at Newcastle with a horse rated 19.
Well, he's only 14s.
Oh,
We've got some good racing in Britain now, haven't we?
How do you get a rating of 19? Honestly, I think I could get a rating of 19 if I gave it a good go. Romping Home likes Fitzella, and Rod Panhard said America Queen was unlucky against Royal Fixation. I'm happy to give her another go. Next race for us is the Middle Park, which we mentioned at the top of the show. Maybe not being the finest renewal, but because of that, we've got a short price favourite here in the shape of Wise Approach at 11-10. The Publican's Son is 4-1. Coppel is 17-2. Kansas is 10-1. Hiltony is 10s. Five Ways 12s. Brussels 16s. Havana Hurricane is 18-1. First Approach makes up the field here in the Middle Park. But yeah, Wise Approach, who has won on debut at Ascot in a valuable maiden, Newbury in a listed race, and then has been beaten in both his group starts to date. And he's an 11-10 favourite for a Group 1. Admittedly, splitting or finishing, you know, just behind Venetian Sun and Gustard is pretty damn good Group 1 form. And the key thing is, there's barely any other Group 1 form on the table here, gents. So I'll come to you first.
for this one, Tom, because on the one hand, he's a short price favourite who keeps getting beat. On the other hand, the opposition is, I mean, some of it, some of the horses up here are listed slash group three class.
Oh, yeah, that's the case, undoubtedly. But I don't know, the Publican Sun could be good. Copple won the Richmond. Mm. So you could make excuses why he didn't run so well in Copple or didn't run so well in France last time. But his approach is clearly the form horse. I mean, I don't think he's a superstar by any stretch of the imagination. But in this race against these horses, I think he's the right favourite. I think he'll win. I want Copple to win because of his name. Well, I don't think he is named after my hero, Steve Copple, who took Reading to the Premiership. But
he'll be named after, given his own, he'll be named after a small village in Lancashire, won't he?
Exactly.
In fact, he is, Copple. It's in the borough of Chorley. And it's 300 feet above sea level. There you go.
There we go. Well, he's named after the wrong Copple. Well, unless you live in Copple, then I'm very sorry, because Copple's probably lovely. But I think Wise Approach will win. The Publican Sun is quite interesting, isn't he? I mean, I know Oshie Murphy's been booked, and he was booked early, which I've always thought was quite interesting for this horse, because Joseph O'Brien's horses are running incredibly well. I was gutted when his horse fell in the Kerry National on Wednesday.
Oh, God, yeah, I'd bet that.
Well, I was going to win, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing came from off it, and he was going better than the winner, wasn't he?
I know, I couldn't believe it. Jumped every fence perfectly, and I'm sitting there counting the money, and there we go. But his horses are running really well. So, look, he ran an amazing race on his debut in a group race on his, you know, coming from way back. But I still think Wise Approach is going to win. Charlie Appleby has a fantastic record with his two-year-olds at Newmarket. For some unknown reason, they're rubbish at Ascot and they're not very good at York. Mm. But at Newmarket and Sandown, they're just, you know, virtually unbeatable. They just come out of their shell for some unknown reason. So I think he'll win. Charlie Appleby himself in the paper says he's worried about the track for him. Mm. Well, that's quite surprising, but there we go. So I think he'll win. I think the Publican Sun is unexposed and therefore a danger, but he's 4-1. And I know Robbie in the paper got him at 8 or 10-1 or whatever he was earlier in the week. That's probably a fair bet, but 4-1 now, no. I think that's approachable.
Okay, fair enough. Publican Sun 4-1 then, yeah. I do think Copple's got a chance. Again, if you he's made the run in the Coventry and got swamped, but run an absolute blinder. Being beat by Gustard, he's battered Puerto Rico easily at Goodwood next time out, and then I think you can excuse going over to France. He was so keen. I mean, 200 yards from home, he was still in front. I mean,
Xanthos proved today, if you give a horse a bad run, you get a bigger price than you should, and sometimes they win.
And a keen going prominent run at Newmarket is going to suit you a lot better than it does at Dover.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's worth reading out what Charlie Apple said about Wise Approach, actually, because it's quite interesting. I came in here thinking it's exactly like Tom. Yeah, he'll just win because it's a bad middle park. And although you say they're only listed Group 3 horses, I mean, most of our older horse Group 1 sprints get won by listed Group horses.
Handicappers, mostly.
So he's probably up to standard for what we have in the sprinting division. Yeah. But Appleby says he's a very slick horse who lowers when he quickens, and that's why I was keen to take our chance in the morning. I thought about bringing it a galloping through the dip, but decided we might just try and treat him with the element of surprise on Saturday. So he's worried about even galloping him at the track and won't try it.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, in my eyes, in my head, I think he already knows he's not going to handle it.
Yeah. Because otherwise you would. Excuses in early.
Because otherwise you would. Yeah. I mean, that's put me right off, I must admit.
I mean, this sounds like a Paul Keighley play slate to me.
Yeah. I'm getting interested. It just, Appleby doesn't think he's going to handle the track. I think that is quite clear from that. What's it? And that would go. So why not find something else? So why not go with Copple? I actually thought Hilitani was quite interesting. I've got a huge amount to find on what he's done, obviously. But he didn't have seem to gallop on powerfully.
Yeah.
So I give him a chance. I mean, you better believe it. I mean, he's not going to be a superstar style, is he? As good as...
Nigel Tinkler, he keeps getting mentioned.
So yeah, I think he could go well, but no, I'll go with Copple. I can see the case, and you know, if he hasn't run in that race at Dover, he's not that price, is he?
No, No, absolutely not.
So,
I mean, if he doesn't run that, he's a comfortable second favourite, isn't he? If he's not running at Deauville.
Yeah.
Is there any chance the old Hurricane could be as good over six? Keels, you're an Eve Johnson Horton specialist.
I'm a Eve Johnson Horton groupie. Yeah. I'm not so sure. I mean, sometimes but I like I think the ground will suit.
He does finish strong, doesn't he?
Yeah, it was a bit of ease in the ground at Epsom when he disappointed, wasn't he?
Paced over five, so
yeah. I mean, it could be. Yeah, he could do. He's a big enough price on what he's done. Yeah.
The thing is, it's a bad renewal, isn't it, Tom? And an RPR of 99 got you into third last year, and Havana Hurricane pretty much runs to that every single time, so he's likely to run a good race. I mean, it's very odd for Eve Johnson Horton to be running her second best 2-year-old in the middle park, isn't it? I mean, what a year she's having with a couple of juveniles. But the other one I want to mention as well, which initially I thought, because Brussels, every time I watch this horse, I think this horse is a sprinter. Drop it back to sprinting.
Was he part of Keels' trip last week, Brussels?
Yeah, was he the European tour?
I love Brussels. Yeah. I'm not talking about the country.
Roasted. roasted with soy sauce.
My favourite veg. I don't know how many veg I like, to be fair, but that's it.
You do have a strange palate,
don't you, Keels? I do, yes.
Guinness and Brussels.
Yeah.
First time Tom Tyne, Group 1s, Tom. Juveniles, 0 from 20, 18 unplaced. And in total, 7 from 188, with Ruling Court, admittedly a recent standout. But again, I just Group 1s, any application of anything just puts me off immediately.
And me. Yeah, I just don't like it. I mean, these races are supposed to be won by the most correct, the most normal, the most horses that can breathe, all those sort of things. As soon as you start doing that, listen, it's not a very good race, so maybe it will be 1 from 21. Tomorrow, but no, I don't mind.
So you're going with Tom?
Well, I think Wise Approach will win, despite what Charlie Appleboy thinks, and I want Havana Hurricane to win. That's the one I want to win. I think it cost $9,000, didn't it? Wouldn't that be great? You know,
if Anthelia won and Havana Hurricane won and two Group Ones for $15,000, that wouldn't be too bad.
Perfect. We should be all getting down the Doncaster sales or wherever they got them from. Clubbing together, the three of us.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. But me and you are off to Lancashire for this race. Keels with Coppel.
Right.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. Right. Okay. That's the middle part. Two more to get stuck into then as we rattle back to Haydock for a red hot handicap here over the mile. The 3:15 and First Ambition. The market certainly loves an unbeaten horse with two wins to its name. 4-1 favourite here. Midnight Gun 9-2, Fondo Blanco 9-2, Tilted Kilt 7-1, El Matador 7-1, Christian David 10s, Intrusively 12s, Hawksbill is 14s, and then you've got other horses in here like Principality has been running well, La Trinidad still going at the age of 8, and Platoon, who's got a very interesting profile indeed. But to be fair, so is the favourite here, First Ambition, but again, I mean, it goes in the could-be-anything category, Keels, but 4-1 favourite?
Yeah, I know. 2 out of 2. Only scrabbled home by a nose last time. The second, third, fourth and fifth have all won, but two of those won at log odds on in terrible races. Yeah. It's in the don't-know category. It's one thing you have to respect, but feel like looking elsewhere, don't you? I think that's the way I looked at it. Yes, could be very good, but has never run on turf. And we just don't know, do we? End of the day. So yeah, I was looking elsewhere and I was going through this, and you know, I initially liked Midnight Gun on his first one since the Lincoln. But I come down and I just thought at the prices, I think that Hawksbill was just being a little bit underestimated because he ran really badly last time. Again, forgive a horse a bad run. But when you look at Hawksbill, he's run 7 times this year. If you bin the 3 times he's run on a straight track and concentrate only the 4 times that he's run round a bend, his form figures are 2-2, 2-2, and they've been a career best on Racing Post ratings every single time. Mm-hmm. The last two runs, one being here, when he was just touched off by Sir Paul Ramsey, who went on to be third in an Ebor Meet in handicap next time. And then when second to Yennefer at Chester, reverse and the four was Paul Ramsey, who was fourth. Two perfectly good runs. And if you took those three straight track runs out of the way, then he's a progressive horse. And it, and again, he likes Haydock. He's run at Haydock three times. He's finished 1-4-2. Mm-hmm. The fourth was in a career best for the time because he was up to listed class.
And he got stopped in his run at a crucial point as
well. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, he's got stall one. Two of the last three winners have come out of stall one. He's coming round the bend, obviously. He can run prominently. He can be held up. Depends on what the jockey wants to do. Sometimes he can be a bit too free, which probably is his issue with straight tracks. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I thought a double-figure prize, a horse that every time he runs around a bend, he runs really well, which is too big.
Yeah, I mean, he's quirky with a capital Q. But
absolutely, yeah.
But he's got the conditions right. And again, he's the right price, isn't he? He's double-figure odds.
Yeah, yeah, so he's a reasonable price, yeah.
And he's 12-1 and with four places with at least three or four bookies as well. So, okay, Hawksbill at 12-1. 3-year-olds have a very good record in this as well, so worth having a look at. I mean, there's quite a few of them in here, but I did think the other one was another Haydock horse in here is Tilted Kilt, Tom, who chased home to Room back in May when that was very well handicapped and got in a right mess last time out. Admittedly, not the only horse in at that race to get in a mess. But, yeah, this looked one of the most competitive races of the day.
Yeah, I like this race. I thought it was really interesting because, as Kiel pointed out, it's like the we were talking about earlier with Bo Echo. I mean, First Ambition could easily be different class. Do I want to back him at 4-1 with all the, you know, never running on turf and nosing home last time? No, I don't. So I was looking like you guys at something a big price. I looked at the two you've said, Hawksbill, who I have history with. And so unlike you guys, I'm rubbish at forgiveness. I crossed him off prematurely, probably. I did look at Tilted Kilt, who I thought has lots of Haydock form, but I ended up on Intrusively, who was a very good two-year-old last year and was third in the Richmond at Goodwood. Ran an absolute blinder in what turned out to be a good Camille Pissarro ran in the sales race at Doncaster. I'll get there eventually. And this year, he's run four times, twice on the all-weather, finishing hard over 7 furlongs. Once Ed Bethel ran him in the group two at Goodwood, the Lennox, and he got completely wiped out by a horse that pulled up that day, Ed Walker's horse that pulled up and came out the back. But he only finished, like, 5 or 6 lengths behind Iberian and horses like that. Not great form, but it's rated 85 here.
Yeah.
The key is he's been pulled out a couple of times on soft ground, so I'm hoping it dries out a bit for him. But he is by Territories, who is a massive influence for soft ground horses. So if it is the bit of cut in the ground, I don't think it being a problem. All his relatives like soft ground. And I just thought, after last run, he ran really well here as well behind King's Lynn.
He did.
In a 7-furlong handicap where he didn't get a run and finished strongly again. The step up to mile will suit. Ed Bethel's horses are running really well. Mm-hmm. Nice draw in stall four. He was the one that I ended up on. What do you think, Ross? Give him a chance?
Well, again, he's just on an incredibly good mark, isn't he? And like you said, he's one of those. You were talking about the Johnston horses earlier. I think a lot of the reason they're overpriced is because their profiles don't make sense to punters. They go, the numbers are all over the shop, and well, they ran badly there. But they try this and then they try that, and eventually it kind of it clicks. And if you can find the time when it clicks, and I feel like Intrusively he's got that sort of profile. It's there's only one or two runs in the past 12 months where I've thought that's the race he should have been running in, and this is one of them. So, and he's got course form again as well, hasn't he? So. He's definitely got a chance. Like I said, I thought Tilted Kilt was the solid one, but again, they are three course horses in a valuable handicap. Right, speaking of valuable handicaps, let's go to Newmarket for the big race of the day, the Cambridgeshire, 9 furlongs the distance. A disappointing turnout to a certain extent, 24 runners. I mean, I know we keep saying it, but where are they all?
It's absolutely mental, isn't it? You know, I think it's only about a dozen years ago that, you know, the Silver Cambridgeshire was, I think the last one was run in 2019, but about 12 years ago, Silver Cambridgeshire, which was a consolation race for the horses balloted out, had 28 runners.
Well, I mean, William Haggis said when Crown of Oaks was Antipas' favourite, he said he's 10-1 to get in, never mind win, and he's noted 99.
Yeah, he could have got there.
He'd have been bottom weight, practically.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But the funny, and also, Gary Moore had one in there rated 71. 71 in the Cambridge. We used to talk about that, like the Air Gold Cup. You remember when Jack Berry used to win it off So Hopeful or whatever it was called, off about 70? We thought that'll never happen again. It could have easily happened here.
Look, I mean,
yeah. 60 rated horses in it.
And Nigel Tinkler's going to be regretting he didn't run that 19 rated horse in it, quite frankly. But Treble T is 5-1 favourite here. Fifth Column 13-2. Fort George 8-1. Westridge 8-1. Real Gain 10s. Boiling Point 11s. 12-1 Tribal Chief. 12-1 Greek Order. And bigger the rest. Now, in terms of actual numbers, in terms of amount of runners in here, it might be a little bit disappointing. However, there are about 15 absolutely bomb-proof, rock-solid, improving, unexposed handicappers in here, Keels. And in terms of actual quality of
it's super competitive. If you weren't used to getting 34 runners instead of 24, you'd be saying, what a great race it is. There's undoubtedly loads of horses who can win it. I'm afraid I'm going to be a bit of a bore draw, though. And
A draw bore.
Last year the race was won on from low stalls, but it was on soft ground, and the previous eight were all won by horses in the 20s or 30s. And judging by what the rail looked like today, I think that's going to be where you need to be. Now, I had two horses that I liked to antipose were Westridge and Mr. Swivel at a big price, but they're drawn 12 and 2, and I'm not really that keen on that, and well, unless Westridge can get right over. So I'm jumping ship, I'm going to Treasure Time. You've already mentioned William Haggis. Now, he could have had Crown of Oaks would have been a pretty strong favourite for this, wouldn't it?
Yep.
He was adamant straight away he's not running, but he is running Treasure Time, who was late in this year. He actually got balloted out of the Hunt Cup, ran only okay on Eclipse Day at Sandown. Then terribly, but then I thought ran pretty well. Never got any room at Ascot. That was his best run of the season. He's fresh. I think a strong run race with an extra furlong will suit him down to the ground, and he may well get on that well from stall 21. So I thought at a handy double figure price, I thought he would go very well. So he was my selection. You can, as I'm sure Tom will do now, make cases for absolutely loads.
Yeah, well, they're all. I mean, Treasure Time, he's had a really frustrating. He doesn't want soft ground. So he keeps entering him in races and then pulling him out of soft ground. He wants a strong gallop that collapses. Pace held up at Sandown. Pace held up at Ascot. Never got involved at Goodwood. But I mean, it's the York form from last year, isn't it? I mean, he beat Volterra, who's about what? Apiarist, Zane Blue, Pabarus, Tokenomics, Golden Mind. EBT's Guard was 15th in that. He's got to have. The mark of 92 is massive, but he just needs the strong. He needs a good ground and he needs strong pace. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time since that York race where you can look at it and go, "That's going to happen."
Yeah.
Do you have a backup plan?
No, not really.
Okay, that's fine.
No, I'm just kind of like I said. I thought Mr. Swivel was interesting because he just keeps on improving.
Yeah.
You throw out one bad run he's had this season. But stall two, I'm not so sure about him. He's officially the second best handicapped horse in the race, and he's now 40-1.
Yeah.
So he has drifted out. So I might have a tiny little save on him just in case the other side is right. But I have a fairly strong feeling that the Stands Rail is going to be the place to be.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been some years. Was it the Paul Cole horse that won a few years ago that bagged the rail and at 40-1?
Majestic Wave.
One of the two, I think, just kept on going and going and going. So it might well unfold that way. But you're not a draw man, Tom Siegel. You're finding the best horse in the race. And what are you going with? What's the best horse in the race?
Well, that's hard, isn't it, to find the best horse because there's so many improvers. I mean, I wouldn't be so confident about the draw at all because I don't think there's that much pace. And so I could see Willing Point going strongly. He's the best horse in the race, undoubtedly, for me. I thought that form at York was a big step forward when he was up to 9 furlongs for the first time. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he came up the middle and did and ran really well. I ended up, though, on Real Gain, who is drawn high for no reason, but just because of I'm a figures man. I like speed figures, really. And when he won here as a three-year-old, I think the time was quicker than the main one. Now, I know it was the day before. He might have won the consolation race, actually, if it was a consolation race back then. It was a very good time, anyway, and he won it by 5 lengths, and it was the only time he'd had 9 furlongs on fast ground at Newmarket. He's back down to a £4 higher mark, and he was well-backed to win the Golden Mile at Goodwood last time from a dodgy draw on a ground he didn't like and ran a blinder. He went way too hard. Him and Skakuza went way too hard from their dodgy draws and set it up for Ross Golin and his pals up the inside. Just think, back on fast ground, 9 furlongs at the track. I couldn't see him. I could see him running a massive race for Richard Hughes. He's drawn in 22, 21. That's good, all the better. But I don't want them all to come over this side because then traffic problems come into play, don't they? And, you know, what I used to like about the Cambridgeshire is that you used to get a clean race all the time because people would stay in their lanes. If they think there's a massive draw, that causes problems for Keels' horse, Treasure Time. It causes problems for Real Game because they'll all come over.
Yeah.
And that might make it easier for those drawn lower to get the clear run and therefore come out on top. So I'm not gonna worry too much of the draw. When I did this anti-post, I tipped fifth column. I think 16-20 to 1 at the time. I still think he's got a very good chance. The game about him is whether he'll quite get the trip, but I think he will. The ground's come right for him. He was another one. I mean, him and Real Game are the ones that were backed at Goodwood. And then last time at York, he was incredibly strong in the market. I thought that was a really, really tough race. You boys nearly found the winner with Jeff Oldroyd's horse, or whatever. Yeah. Big leader. I thought that was a really strong race. And although it was only a short head, I thought fifth column was pretty comfortable. It sounds ridiculous, but I thought he came there. It was a slowly run race. He came from off the pace and he picked up. So of those at the top of the market, he's the one I like the most, definitely, given that he's a Gosden horse. Westridge, so impressive. A Goodwood, you couldn't throw him out. Treble T's interesting, isn't he? Because
he's a daft price, though. I mean, I know he was impressive at Donny, but he got the run. I mean, he was in the perfect position. He's beat Galleron and Cash, who, again, I mean, as soon as they come off the bridle, they're completely done and dusted. So,
why is O'Sheen Murphy not riding him? That's what I thought. He rode him last time. He's riding Fort. Maybe he thinks Fort George has got a chance, and he has got a chance. Fort George undoubtedly stays well. Switched to front running tactics at Newbury last time. Bit unlucky behind Good Horse, Best Secret at Goodwood. So he's got a chance as well. But Treble T just, would he bump first off the ground? I don't know. He looks too short to me.
He is just too short. He's a good horse, but he's just too short,
isn't he? Cash hasn't run for 3 years. Galloway hasn't run for two. Yeah. The 9-year-old was in fourth. I mean, I know he's quite a good yardstick, Bo Pedro, isn't he? But, I mean, it just doesn't strike you.
It was a bad race, though, wasn't
it? High quality handicap form, does it? No.
Yeah. Other ones to mention, I mean, are. Well, Thunder Run, who you put up anti-post as well, who, again, that five box might be a negative, but if it's not, then this race is absolutely tailor-made for him, Tom.
That's what I thought at the time. Just don't get what's going on. Do you know what I mean? At the time, yeah. I thought Thunder Run was Carl Burke's Cambridgeshire horse 100%. Now he's the second string, clearly, on jockey bookings, and he's ridden by Charlie Bishop. I like Charlie Bishop, but for Carl Burke, it's not a... You know, it's like, well, let's just get Charlie Bishop. You know what I mean? He's got loads of jockeys that he normally uses. Charlie Bishop's turned up. So, not that I don't think that's a negative in any stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't strike me as being a positive feeling about the horse from the trainer.
And one more I will just mention. Drawn 23, 7 years old, barely raced in this country, trained by Terry Kent. And again, another one in your mix. Erzin Jam was such an eye-catcher in the John Smiths. And I think you can complete... he could have bounced last time out. He didn't really get the run of the race either. He was only beaten 3 lengths anyway. It was a competitive handicap. But if he's in the right place and they go a good gallop, 23 at 25-1. I mean, again, forgive a bad run. That it wasn't even a bad run last time out. He was just a bit unfortunate. But the run before, I've never seen a horse make up so much ground at York.
No, I totally agree. I mean, last time, I thought that was Keels' best work, doing your nutting. I thought that was an amazing selection and an amazing... You got it completely spot on. I didn't see it at all. But he was... And it turned out exactly as Keels said. It was going to be he's going to get the lead, nothing's going to come. And it was exactly as it said.
Yeah.
And watching the race, I thought, bloody hell. Keels actually is not as stupid as he looks.
I mean, that's not possible, is it? Surely. But.
Yeah, that is very hard. Even I'll admit that.
and he had no chance, Thursday Jan, the way the race went. He had none. Absolutely none. So, like you say, that's a right. And it sort of I know Keels is quite keen on Westridge too, and that sort of gives him a leg up as well, because he ran even better to be third, given that given the way the race turned out. So, you know, you could definitely make a case for those two.
Yeah, I don't think Westridge quite got home either over 1 mile, two and a half. So,
well, it's funny, he's got a... Because I made this case earlier on in the year before Goodwood. I said to someone, you know, he just doesn't stay an inch over 10 furlongs. An inch over 10 furlongs. Up until 10 furlongs, he's spot on, so this should be fine. So, you're going with?
Treasure Time.
All right, lovely stuff. And Tom?
Well, my biggest win is Fifth Column, without a shadow of a doubt, but I have backed Real Gain this evening.
Fair enough. And I hope Treasure Time wins for race share, but I do will be having a little bit on Erzincan at a big price as well. Okay, Naps coming up after this. All right, let's get the best bets on Cambridgeshire Day then, starting off with the man to my left, Paul Keely.
Yeah, I'm going to go in early and not at Newmarket, at Haydock. Blue Storm, 2.05.
All right, Blue Storm in the sprint at Haydock then. Tom, what about you?
What do you reckon, Minnie? What should we go for? We're going for humidity in the Royal Lodge. I just think conditions, track, trip, he's going to bounce back.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, it's a short price, but I thought the best bet, or the horse I'm most looking forward to, is Those Were the Days in the last race at Haydock tomorrow. Big eye catcher at Windsor, huge win at Carlisle in softish ground at mark of 82. That's there to be blown to pieces. So that's what we'll go for all you you reminiscers. Anyway, we'll be back next week for the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, except for Tom, who is embargoed.
Am I not on next week?
You're not. You're allowed to tip in the arc, are you?
You're not allowed, are you?
Oh, I'm not allowed.
Why don't you tell us what wins the arc now?
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I don't know. It's a different race now. I mean,
anyway, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, you can't. You've got. Come on, if you want to talk about it, you've got to come on next week. All right. So we'll see you at home next week. Good night.